Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What's up, Dregs?
I'm just wondering, is this going to be a one and done? One question, then we're done, or how's this going to go?
Could
you guys
be.
Need to wrap it up.
Do you have a PR person down there? It'd be great if you did.
Well, there are many. Well, actually, there aren't that many from the National Hockey League. We're in Florida, obviously, for the Board of Governors meetings, and I saw John Delapina and I saw Gary Maher, and I think that is it for the media contingent. They've really pared down here in limiting the number of people who can attend club by club, department by department from the NHL, but TSN Sportsnet didn't get the memo because I was on the same flight with about 11 other media types from both networks. So
I like it.
We should have it well covered, you know.
I like it. Well, yeah, I mean, the Board of Governor meetings, we missed out on those, I guess, a year ago. I guess they forgot that Zoom exists and they could probably still hold these via computer. But how might this change your job? I mean, you're down there talking to people, Dregs, and there's been so many complaints, or maybe not complaints, but it's been brought up many times over the last year and a half,
the
idea that you can't access people. And as a result, maybe the information train has been stalled a little bit the last year and a half.
Yeah, it has been, and to be determined as to how we manage through, you know, the next couple of days here in Florida. I know that there are only two scheduled media availabilities, and that's Thursday after the meetings, and that's Friday after the meetings. Individually, we all have to be tested, just one test. It's a PCR test, so it's not that big of a deal, and it's on site here. But I don't think there's going to be as much lobby trolling and lobby bar participation
right. As
we've seen in past years with either the board meetings, the board less so, right? Because you're talking about governors, you're talking about owners for the most part. Many of these men bring their wives, although probably not on this one because of the COVID restrictions. But, you know, given how the NHL has clamped down on our availability and what we have access to here in Florida, I don't know. Might spend some time at the pool tomorrow morning. We'll see how it goes.
Darren, Carlo continues to bitch on Twitter just about the NHL being one of the best. Like, I sometimes scroll through and I ignore. But sometimes when someone does it enough, you kind of, it gets your attention. You're like, maybe he's got something. And it's just the idea of the best hockey league in the world grabbing beer league goaltenders and not being able to dress a certain amount of forwards.
Yeah.
And it's just got an absolute East Coast League vibe to it, or just a garbage look to it. Is this going to ever be addressed and there come to a solution on this? Like, immediately?
I mean, well, you would think so. I mean, look, you know, we're not the first to talk about it. Do you think that the NHL clubs are happy about having to spring an e-bug into action, even for a morning skate or a practice or any of that? And maybe the National Hockey League was too aggressive in trying to leap back into what is normal. An 82-game regular season schedule, the taxi squad no more, all of those things. Like, it would have made a lot of sense to be able to create maybe an exemption in the collective bargaining agreement. And maybe you have to put a monetary cap on it too, right? Which is hard to do, because anytime you do that, you're talking about a CBA item and you're talking about a negotiation with the Players Association. But it would be better, wouldn't it, to have at least somebody with a limited amount of pro experience, as opposed to your point, a beer league guy. I mean, it's a fun story, but I think we've all had enough of it. It's fun for the guy who gets to step onto the ice and do his twirl for 10 minutes and warm up and never be seen again. But it also makes a bit of a mockery of the position and of the sport. I mean, we've seen it one time not that long ago where a guy had to step into action, obviously, and did pretty well at the expense of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But that was a cool story. If you see it again, it's not so cool anymore.
With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider, Dregs down in Florida at the NHL Board of Governor meetings. How many chats do you expect to be having from the board, from the media members down there, about the Olympic Games and participation at the Olympics?
Yeah, a lot, Brian. I mean, that's got to be one of the primary items. And the obvious one is involving everything that went on with the Chicago Blackhawks back in 2010. I mean, there's going to be some type of report. As Pierre LeBrun reported on Insider Trading, you know, I think we'd all be surprised if there isn't some direction that comes out of that from these board meetings. But absolutely, I mean, the Olympics and participation is a key topic. I haven't had an opportunity to pull the collection of owners or governors I have a handful of owners who want nothing to do with the Olympics. You know, there's just too much risk from a player perspective to send those players over there. I mean, you know, number one, you're looking at injury. Number two, what if one of those guys actually gets COVID in China and they're stuck there for 3 weeks? It's not like they're conditioning and they're skating and they're training and all of that. I mean, you want to get them back into North America as quickly as possible. So from an asset management perspective, the idea of shutting down the season and sending their star players over there does not sit well with a good number of the owners, not the majority. But guess what? The owners and the National Hockey League negotiated that agreement in the collective bargaining agreement of the Players Association. And unless there is a legit COVID-19 reason to bail between now and January 10th, they're committed to it. They're stuck with it. But I guarantee you it's going to be something we talk about for the next couple of days here.
Drags, any, I guess we're kind of past that American Thanksgiving situation. Do you sense more trade chatter? Do you sense like a lot of things? I know we just talked about, you know, the cap being, teams being capped out and maybe underestimating an 82 games schedule and just jumping right back in it. But we're seeing so many teams not playing shorthanded, but really testing their depth. Has the trade chatter picked up at all?
No, I wouldn't say it's picked up, Noodles, but it's been consistent, right? You still have your teams that have wants and needs. You know, Chris Drury, the New York Rangers come to mind. They've been looking for kind of a middle forward for basically all season. Sammy Blay goes down, and they're looking to fill his vacancy. You know, you've got the Boston situation with Jake DeBrusk. Because of the Brad Marchand suspension, he was thrown into action, some of their injury situations. That has quieted a little bit, but I don't think that means that Jake DeBrusk is happy in Boston. So there's a situation we've got to monitor. The goaltending carousel is interesting, and Dallas has too many, right?
Yeah.
Anton Hudobin, his name has been out there for a while, but I think that Hudobin wants out sooner rather than later. He just doesn't see himself as a fit in Dallas anymore. There was some speculation connecting the Pittsburgh Penguins, but their goaltending is actually shaped up of late, so maybe there isn't a higher level of urgency from Ron Hextall's chair. But those are a few names, and you know, you've got Phil Kessel and guys like that. Chris Johnson rolled out that graphic earlier in the week. Still feels a little bit early because of the salary cap, but all it takes is one long-term injury, right? Or a team that is really looking at goaltending going, man, we can't afford it, but we're going to have to find a way. And maybe Hudobin, with a new, fresh opportunity, becomes that insurance that a team needs, especially if Dallas is willing to eat a little bit of money, right?
Wow.
If Dallas is willing to play the game, then I think he gets moved probably sooner than later.
I agree. I think Colorado might be, like, they've got to be looking at that situation and going,
Have to be.
I like Darcy Kuemper as a goaltender, but you just showed it the other day. You come up with a upper body injury, you know, and a couple hours before a game, and against a team like Toronto.
Johansson.
Exactly, and Jerry Johansson's playing, and it's unfortunate because, you know, that's the truth of it is that team needs depth in that position. So I agree.
Yeah.
I think the goaltending carousel has to fire it up soon.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. You know, it's more interesting when we've got legit topics like that to sink our teeth into, right? Like, you can look at every team's roster and look at expiring contracts and, you know, injuries and all that and try and connect the dots. But until it actually starts happening, then you're just trying to connect the dots. And normally it is sparked by one. And I was a bit surprised that when Jack Eichel got traded to the Vegas Golden Knights, I actually thought that it wasn't going to open the floodgates, but I thought that we'd see a little bit more activity. And I mentioned Drury and the New York Rangers and the fact that they've been looking for a while now. That hasn't changed. So here's hoping, you know, we're approaching the roster freeze with the holidays around the corner. So it may not be an active December. I'm not saying that there can't be something, but there's so much off-ice stuff going on with guys getting fired left, right, and center, that maybe that's been a bit of a distraction for a lot of clubs. And maybe teams are also pulling back and going, okay, well, let's wait and find out who's actually managing in Vancouver before we start to kick at the carcass there and some of the other situations. So all of that certainly factors into what can be a slow time of year.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, Carey Price video coming out of him in uniform with equipment, but basically just going out for a cruise, you know, skating around for 10 or 15 minutes. And it's just such a weird transition because of what he's been through personally, but also the injury, the surgery he's coming off of. It doesn't look as if he's even close, and it doesn't look like he's in a rush to return. What's your understanding of where he's at and what the Habs are planning to do with Carey Price?
Well, look, I mean, for public consumption, I don't think that there is a specific timeline here. There certainly wouldn't be a date on the calendar other than the Olympics looming and Doug Armstrong on line one calling on behalf of Team Canada to get a daily update on where Carey Price is. But, you know, Dom Ducharme in a media availability recently said, I think it was last week, that Carey isn't going to be back in any way, shape, or form before Christmas. And that's not that far away. But if you get, you know, past Christmas, now you're into the new year, it becomes more of an issue. Less so for the Montreal Canadiens, more so for Team Canada. And I got to tell you guys, and, you know, we've kind of nibbled at this layer of speculation because we look at Carey's contract and we look at the huge undertaking that Jeff Gorton has to embrace here with whenever he hires a new general manager and how they're going to rebuild the foundation of that team. I don't think that there's any doubt that the Montreal Canadiens are going to have to, you know, be in the business of looking at Carey Price as a tradable asset by March 21st, the trade deadline. It makes more sense that you'd wait until the off season, and maybe there's more flexibility from a cap perspective in the system to take on a mammoth contract like that. But we've talked about goaltending already. I'm sure there are managers around the game, especially those who think they're contenders, and maybe Sakic is among them, who are looking at Price's situation going, geez, I'd really like to get him back on the ice and see where he's at. Then I'd like to see him perform in the Olympics and see where he's at. And then when we get closer to March, you know, maybe realistically I can engage and I can move out some pieces to make a deal of that magnitude. For me, that's the bigger story because it's the picture of the future for Montreal and for Carey Price and for perhaps the team that swings hardest to try and land him.
Well, and you nailed it too on the sense that, like, the Canadians should have zero urgency getting him back. They're not in a playoff race. Right. They're not battling. You know, you're not 2 points out of a wild card spot.
The sense of putting him in noodles to take you out of that lottery.
Well,
screw
exactly.
It.
Like, you know what? It seems right now. I mean, Dvorak gets injured last night. Like, they're, you know, Petrie, they're fine with some of their long-term deals. And, you know, Josh Anderson, they're fine cycling young kids in, giving them experience. So what's there's no rush getting Carey Price into the lineup other than for the Olympics. That's his call, though, right?
That's where it gets dicey, where Jeff Gorton, well, I don't even know if he knows Carey Price. And Gorton might
probably
be like, yeah, listen, I'm liking what's happening here. If I'm Jeff Gorton, I'm actually stepping in at a beautiful time. We're terrible, we're losing, and I'm going to get a lottery pick here. But if you're Carey Price and you have ambitions of being in Beijing at the Olympics, you got to play. You got to play a certain amount of games.
So, and I think that's his priority, Brian. I mean, you know, every player is that way, right? Like he wants to get back into the game as soon as he can. And it's not just the Olympic motivation. You know, Carey is a good teammate, so he wants to do what he can do to help the Montreal Canadiens stay competitive. But you're right. I mean, if I'm Jeff Gorton, I want all of the assets that I think I might be able to peddle between now and March 21st to be out on that ice. Because I want who's ever interested to have a bigger picture view of what these players are capable. And you're looking at the mega contracts here. That's what you're looking at. And then secondarily, Dom Ducharme isn't going to have a choice in how he plays his young players, aside from managing the bench to some degree. Wouldn't you think the message from Gorton is, hey, I got to see these guys play. I got to see what we've got here in the future so that I know what pieces we have to build around. So, I'm probably saying that in a confrontational way, and I don't mean to. I mean, isn't that just common sense between coach and executive vice president / general manager for the moment of any organization? You got to know what you have before you can make it better.
That's right. Yeah, and I would expect that's the message and that's the plan the rest of the way. We'll see. Enjoy yourself down there, Dregs. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, live from the Board of Governor meetings down in Florida. So those are back. That's good to hear. Everyone getting back together down in FLA.
Nothing I don't understand that. It's just like, do it by Zoom. You really...
Oh, you can. I mean, I actually have to call a couple games in Florida next week, which would be...
I'm looking forward to getting back down there. I'm hoping to go down in Feb or March or...
You know what's unique for me is, you know, I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale and then in Tampa, but like, you know, going to a place where it's kind of wide open or maybe the things have been relaxed, like, I'm still going to be in Toronto mode, Ontario mode. Like, I'm, you know, I don't think I'm going to relax it. Obviously, I've got to be as mindful as possible, right?
So it's, let's just be honest, Noodles. Down there, there's no COVID in their minds. It's
exactly.
They live their life as if this thing is not existing. What's happening.
I have friends in Arizona who, exactly, like throughout all this time, have just never acknowledged it. But,
no.
You know, that being said, we were just talking about Carey Price going to the Olympics. I maybe I'm in the minority. I don't think they're going. I really don't. I don't think that they're going to the Olympics. You know, I just think that...
Every day that passes, I'm closer to your frame of mind.
You know, you're seeing, like, there's some political stuff going on. And
they're not
going. The governments are... Like, I think there might be too much downside than upside for them to go. Because if it takes one person that gets trapped there... You know, God forbid Austin Matthews test. How do you think the Toronto Maple Leafs would feel if Austin Matthews tests positive over there and he's got to be locked down for 2 weeks in China and the league resumes?
Oh, and it's a possibility. Like, that's the risk you're taking if you're going over there. You know, the political stuff, I'm not sure. I don't think that factors in to the way the NHL is going to operate. I don't think they are. I mean, this whole diplomatic boycott, it's meaningless. It's toothless. It doesn't do anything. And it doesn't change the games. The athletes are still going. The games are going to continue. So I'm not sure it factors into the way the NHL is thinking. But I'm with you, though, Noodles. I do think, you know, COVID is lurking. It's here. They're testing and they're finding it. And it's, I'd say it's 50-50, where I thought it was close to 100% a month ago. You know, and every day that passes, I'm not quite certain that they're going to be at the Olympic Games. Yeah. And it would be disappointing, but it would be understandable at the same time.